Hello and welcome to our second session on the Old Testament. We're glad that you're with us.
Hello, we're going to jump in the session number two. Ngenaan perjanjian lami. Abdi ngarau senang kumargi anjun ayah di dia.
In our last session, we talked about the arrangement of the books in the Old Testament.
Dina sesi nungka pengker urang nyarioskeun ngeunaan pengaturan kitab-kitab tina perjanjian lami.
The Pentateuch, the five books of Moses.
Pentateuch, kalima kitab Musa.
Followed by the historical books.
Disusul ku kitab-kitab sejarah.
Then the books of poetry from different periods of history.
Teras kitab-kitab puisi di periode sejarah nu benten.
And then the prophets.
Sareng saterasna nabi-nabi.
The large prophetic books and the smaller prophetic books.
Kitab-kitab nubuatan anu ageung sareng kitab-kitab anu kalangkungan.
Now, at the time of Jesus.
Ayeuna nuju jaman Yesus.
The Jews had all of those books.
Orang Yahudi parantos ngagaduan kitab-kitab eta.
But they put them in a different order.
Nanging aranjeunna nempatkeunana benten.
They did not have extra books we don't have today.
Aranjeunna teu ngagaduan kitab-kitab di luar anu ku urang teu digaduan.
And they did not leave out books.
Sareng aranjeunna teu ngicalkeun kitab-kitab.
But in some cases the arrangement was slightly different.
Mung benten tina pangaturanana anu teu sami.
Let's look at a verse in the New Testament.
Hayu urang ningali hiji ayat tina Perjanjian Anyar.
This will show us exactly what I mean.
Ieu baris nunjukeun ka urang secara cepat nan anu dipimaksud.
The Gospel of Luke.
Injil Lukas.
Chapter 24.
Pasal 24.
That's the last chapter in the book of Luke.
Kita pasal panungtung tina kitab Lukas.
If you've got your Bible, please look at this verse with
me. Pamisa derek nyanak Alkitab mangga urang ningali kitab ieu.
Luke 24, verse 27.
Lukas 24 ayat 27.
Let me explain what's happening here.
Mangaku abdi bade dijelaskeun naon kajadenan.
Jesus has been crucified.
Yesus parantos disalibkeun.
He has risen from the dead.
Anjeunna parantos digugahkeun deui tina pupusna.
He is talking to some of his disciples.
Anjeunna nuju nyarios ka sabaraha muridna.
And he's explaining to them.
Sareng anjeunna nuju ngajelaskeun ka maranehna.
The things that have happened to him.
Yen perkawis-kawis kajantenan ku anjeunna.
Were prophesied in the Old Testament.
Dinubuatkeun dinu Perjanjian Lama.
Now the verse.
Ayeuna ayatna.
Luke 24 verse 27.
Lukas 24 ayat 27.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Jadinya anjeunna nerangkeun kamaranehanna segala anu diserahkeun dina kitab suci hal salirana. Ti kitab-kitab Musa dugi ka kitab-kitab para nabi.
And now look at verse 44.
Ayeuna urang tingali tina ayat 44.
Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me."
Anjeunna ngalahir deui. Hal-hal ieu bari teu ku kami geus diomongkeun ka maraneh waktu urang rerujungan keneh. Ceuk kami sagala rupa anu geus ditulis ngeunaan diri kami dina kitab hukum Musa, dina kitab nabi-nabi, jeung dina kitab Jabur kudu kajadian.
Now, let's see what Jesus meant.
Ayeuna urang ningali naon maksud Yesus.
The Jewish people at the time of Jesus,
orang Yahudi nuju zaman Yesus,
had all of the books that we now call the Old Testament.
Ya gaduhan sadaya kitab anu ku urang disebat Perjanjian Lami.
That is the Jewish Bible.
Eta teh kitab Yahudi.
No more, no less.
Dilangkung teu kira.
But when they placed these books in their special order,
waktos aranjeunna nempatkeun ieu kitab-kitab di lebet urutan khusus,
they put them in three big groups.
Maranehna nempatkeun tilu kelompok gede.
The first area was called the law.
Nu kahiji disebut hukum.
It's what we call the Pentateuch.
Ieu naon disebut Pentateuch?
The five books of Moses.
Kalima kitab Musa.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Kejadian, Budalan, Imamat, Bilangan, sareng Pamindo.
They called it the Torah.
Maranehna nyebutna Torah.
Torah means really instruction.
Torah teh artina instruksi nu sabenerna.
That was the first part of the Hebrew Bible.
Ieu bagian kahiji tina Alkitab Ibrani.
The second part,
nu kadua,
they called the prophets.
Maranana nyebutna nabi-nabi.
In fact, it included some historical books.
Baktana ieu kaasup sabeberapa buku sajarah.
But they called it the prophets.
Maranana nyebutna nabi-nabi.
And it was divided into two parts.
Ieu dibagi dina dua bagian.
The former prophets and the latter prophets.
Nabi-nabi nu leuwih ti heula jeung nabi-nabi nu pangpaneurina.
The former prophets,
nabi-nabi nu leuwih ti heula.
Joshua. Judges.
Hakim-hakim.
Samuel, both books of Samuel.
Kedua kitab Samuel.
And Kings, again both books of Kings.
Kedua kitab Raja-Raja.
The latter prophets.
Nabi-nabi nu pangpaneurina.
Isaiah.
Yesaya.
Jeremiah.
Yeremia.
Ezekiel.
Yehezkel.
And what was called the Book of the 12 Prophets.
Jeung naon anu disebut kitab 12 nabi.
The 12 prophets were what we call the minor or smaller prophets.
12 nabi teh nyaeta nabi-nabi leutik jeung nabi-nabi anu leuwih leutik.
But they united all of those together as what they called the Book of the 12.
Tapi maranehna ngahijikeunana di mana ayana maranehna kitab anu 12.
After the latter prophets came the writings.
Tangis nabi-nabi anu paneuri nyusulkeun tulisanana.
Sometimes we use the word, the Greek word, hagiographa, meaning sacred writings.
Urang ngagunakeun kecap Yunani hagiographa hartosna seratan-seratan suci.
And these were.
Urang ieu nyaeta.
The Psalms.
Jabur-jabur.
Proverbs.
Siloka.
Job.
Ayub.
And then what was called the five scrolls.
Sareng teras-terasna naon disebat lima gulungan.
Now that meant.
Ieu hartosna.
Several small books that were put together.
7 buku alit anu dikelompokkeun.
Song of Solomon.
Kidung Agung.
Ruth. Lamentations.
Tangisan.
Ecclesiastes.
Pandita.
And Esther.
Sareng Esther.
And then following that.
Sareng saterasna nyusul nu sanesna.
Daniel.
Daniel.
Then Ezra and Nehemiah, which was like one book.
Ezra sareng Nehemiah anu saprosiji kitab.
And finally, Chronicles.
Sareng akhirna Babad.
Now what you see is all the same books that we have, but in a different order.
Ayeuna naon anu kusaderek ditingali nyaeta sadaya kitab sami.
And so we've got the law.
Urang ngagaduhan hukum.
The prophets.
Nabi-nabi.
Which includes the former prophets and latter prophets.
Kalebet nabi-nabi anu langkung ti.
And then the writings.
Bayung sang sungkur.
Now look at Luke again, chapter 24.
Tingali tina Lukas dari pasal 24.
Verse 27.
Ayat 17.
Jesus is speaking.
Yesus nuju nyarios.
And it says this.
Sareng nyarioskeun kieu.
And beginning at Moses.
Ngawitan ti kitab-kitab Musa.
Now who is Moses? What is Moses?
Anjeunna naha ti kitab Musa.
The five books of Moses.
Kalima kitab Musa.
The Torah.
Taurat.
The Pentateuch.
Pentateuch.
And all the prophets.
Sareng sadaya nabi.
Meaning the former prophets and the latter prophets.
Artosna nabi-nabi anu langkung ti payun sareng ti pengker.
He continued to expound to them.
Terus anjeunna ngajelaskeun ka aranjeunna.
In all of the scriptures or writings.
Naon ngeunaan anjeunna.
The things concerning himself.
Kina sadaya kitab suci.
In other words, Jesus takes the whole Jewish Old Testament.
Kina kalimah sana Yesus nyandak sadaya perjanjian lami Yahudi.
The five books of Moses, the Torah.
Kalimah kitab Musa, Torah.
The prophets.
Nabi-nabi.
Former prophets and latter prophets. That's why it says all the prophets.
Nabi-nabi yang utipayunin sarang utipungkurin. Ia sadayana dicarioskin.
And then all the writings or scriptures. The third division of the Bible.
Sarang seterasna sadaya seratan-seratan. Atrapi pangandika Gusti. Bagian katilu tinat Alkitab.
Now, you remember we said that in the book, the part called the writings.
Sadaik emut yang dina kita bagian anu disebat seratan-seratan.
The first book in that section.
Kitab ngawitan tina bagian eta.
Was the Book of Psalms.
Eta kitab Jabur.
And sometimes the word the Psalms referred to the whole of that section of the Old Testament as well as just the Book of Psalms.
Kadang-kadang kalimah Jabur nunjukkeun kana sadaya bagian perjanjian lami eta atanapi mung kitab Zabur wungkul.
Now look at verse 44. It is still in Luke.
Tingali ayat 44 masih tina Lukas 24.
Then Jesus said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me."
Yete saruna, yete pangandika kami anu geus diomongkeun ka marane waktu kami babarengan jeung marane, nyaeta sakabeh anu ditulis dina kitab Musa, Nabi jeung Jabur kudu kajadian.
So, Jesus is referring again to the whole Old Testament.
Yesus nuju ngacu deui kana perjanjian lami.
The law of Moses, that's the first five books.
Hukum Musa eta teh anu ngawitan di kalima kitab.
The prophets, meaning the former and latter prophets.
Nabi-nabi hartosna nabi-nabi anu tipayun sang kabangkar.
And the Psalms, meaning that whole section of scripture which began with Psalms and ended with Chronicles.
Jabur hartosna sadayana bagian pangandika Gusti anu dikawitan ku Jabur sareng dipungkas ku Babad.
Verse 45.
Ayat 45.
And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures.
Anjeuna muka emutan maranehanana, dugi ka maranehanana ngartos kana kitab suci.
What a wonderful Bible study.
Aduh, enak pisan diajar Alkitab.
I wish I'd been there.
Cim abdi hoyong.
Jesus was taking the whole Old Testament from the beginning to the end.
Yesus nyanak sadayana perjanjian lami dingawitan dugi ka panungtung.
And he was showing his disciples how he was in the center, the living center of all of it.
Anjeuna nunjuk ka murid-muridna kumaha anjeuna teh pusat-pusat kahirupan sadayana.
I wonder how long they were walking along the road for him to have time to do that.
Abdi tumaros sabaralami aranjeuna mapa kanggo anjeuna kanggo ngalakukeun hal eta.
Now, in our last session together.
Ayeuna pelajaran urang anu pamungkas.
I said that the New Testament quotes a lot from the Old Testament.
Urang dina perjanjian enggal seur nyandak dina perjanjian lawas.
It may be of interest to you to know that in fact the New Testament quotes from all three parts of the Jewish Old Testament.
Tenarik kanggo sadere kanggo ngalakukeun eta, paktana perjanjian enggal nyandak tilu bagian perjanjian lami.
In the New Testament,
ya, perjanjian Engel,
there are quotations,
aya kutipan-kutipan,
94 from the Pentateuch,
84 tina Pentateuch,
99 from the prophets,
89 tina nabi-nabi,
and 85 from the writings, the third division of Hebrew scripture.
85 tina seratan-seratan divisi katilu tina ayat Ibrani.
Now, I want you to look at another scripture.
Ayeuna abdi hoyong saderek ningali tina ayat nu sanes.
It's from Luke chapter 11.
Tina Lukas 11.
Verse 51.
Ayat 51.
And Jesus again is talking in this verse.
Yesus ngandika deui tina ayat ieu.
This is what he says.
Ieu anu ku anjeunna disaurkeun.
Luke 11 verse 51.
Lukas 11 ayat 51.
From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple, yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation.
Awitan teh samat Habil nepi ka waktu maehan, Zakaria anu dirogahala di antara altar jeung tempat suci, sing percaya jalma-jalma jaman ayeuna teh tangtu meunang siksaan.
Now, the death of Abel.
Ayeuna mautna Habil.
Where's that in the Bible?
Di mana eta diserat dina Alkitab?
Genesis chapter 4 verse 8.
Kejadian 4 ayat 8.
The first book in the Bible.
Kitab ngawitan dina Alkitab.
In the arrangement we have today.
Dina pangaturan nu aya ayeuna.
And also in the arrangement of the books as they had it at the time of Jesus.
Pangaturan kitab-kitab anu ku aranjeungna dianggo di jaman Yesus.
It starts with Genesis.
Dikawitan dina kejadian.
And the first death in Genesis is that of Abel.
Carang pupus anu ngawitan kajadiannya eta pupusna Habil.
Now, who is this Zechariah who perished between the altar and the temple?
Cateh Zakaria teh anu parantos dipayahan di antawis mesbah sareng Bait Allah.
You'll find it in the Old Testament. We're not going to read it, but you'll find it there. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 24, and verse 20. Now, for us, the book of Chronicles is sort of in the middle of the Old Testament. But in the Jewish arrangement, same number of books,
jumlah kitab na sami.
But the Second Chronicles was put at the very end of the writings.
Dua babad disimpan na paling akhir tina suratan-suratan.
So, in fact, that death of Zechariah came in the last book, as the Jews had them arranged.
Faktana mautna Zakaria aya di lebet kitab terakhir anu diantarana urang Yahudi.
So, just as a Christian might say, from Genesis to Revelation,
seperti orang Kristen mungkin nyareos tina kejadian dugi ka Wahyu.
Meaning, from the very beginning to the very end of the Bible,
artosna tingawitan dugi ka akhirna Alkitab.
When Jesus said, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah,
waktu Yesus nyaur tina geti Habil dugi ka geti Zakaria,
he meant from the very first book of the Jewish order to the last book of the Jewish order.
Anjeuna ngamaksadkeun tina urutan kitab ngawitan kitab Yahudi dugi ka urutan kitab Yahudi nu akhir.
In other words, the whole of Old Testament history.
Tina kalimah sanes sadaya sajarah perjanjian lami.
So you see that Jesus was recognizing the whole of the Old Testament as the Word of God.
Janten saderek ningali upami Yesus kenal perjanjian lami selalu ngandika Allah.
Now, why is this important?
Nah, ieu penting.
I do not think that we have to go back and rearrange our books in the Bible to have the same traditional Jewish order. I don't think that's important.
Abdi tengemut urang kudu nyusun deui kitab-kitab dina kitab urang supaya sami sareng urutan Yahudi tradisional anu penting.
Yes, I know Jesus used the order of books that they existed in at that time.
Abdi terang Yesus ngagunakeun urutan kitab-kitab nu tos aya di jaman eta.
I don't think the order is so important.
Abdi teu kadu pikiran yen urutan teh penting.
What is important is that we have all of them.
Nu penting urang miboga sadayana.
And we do have all of them.
Anu lengkep.
I think what is important too is that Jesus accepted all of it as the Word of God.
Pikiran abdi anu pentingnya eta Yesus nampi sadayana sebagai dawuhan Gusti.
Not just a part of it.
Sanes mung sabagian.
Jesus accepted the whole thing.
Yesus nampi sadayana.
And so we should do the same thing.
Jadi urang kedah ngalakukeun sami.
Let me remind you just how the order did change.
Idinkeun abdi ngelingan kumaha urutan teh robi.
When they translated from Hebrew into Greek the whole of the Old Testament.
Dina waktu ngaterjemahkeun perjanjian lawas tina basa Ibrani kana basa Yunani,
they put the books in a slightly different order.
Nempatkeun urutanana rada beda.
And that was something which that Greek translation was something that was used even by Paul and by Luke in the New Testament.
Terjemahan Yunani anu dipake ku Paulus sareng Lukas dina perjanjian anyar.
So we've got the whole of the Bible as Jesus knew it.
Jadi urang ngagaduhan Alkitab anu terangeti Yesus.
Now the next thing I want to deal with is something quite important.
Anu sararasna bade dibahas nya eta dinu rada penting.
Now here is my Bible.
Ya Alkitab abdi.
I believe this.
Abdi percanten.
But this is an English translation.
Tapi ieu perjemahan bahasa Inggris.
You have your translation in your language, whatever that may be.
Saderek ku terjemahan bahasa saderek atawa bahasa nu sanes.
Can you be sure that that is the Word of God?
Biasa saderek mastikeun yen eta teh dawuhan Allah.
Yes, we can.
Biasa.
Because we can refer to the Hebrew and Aramaic Old Testament.
Urang teu sangatu kana perjanjian lawas basa Ibrani sareng Aram.
And the Greek New Testament.
Sareng basa perjanjian anyar basa Yunani.
And of course, in my library at home, I have my Hebrew Old Testament and I have my Greek New Testament.
Dina perpustakaan abdi di rorompok aya perjanjian lawas basa Ibrani anu basa Yunani.
But that's not the end of the question.
Mung ieu sanes akhir patarosan.
Because my printed Hebrew Old Testament is just another modern printed book.
Perjanjian laos basa Ibrani nu abdi anu dicetak di zaman modern.
Do I know that printed New Testament, printed Old Testament in Hebrew is the same as what was written down thousands of years ago?
Abdi terang yen cetakan perjanjian laos dina basa Ibrani sami sareng anu diserat ribuan taun kapengker.
Before the invention of printing, Jewish scribes,
penulis Yahudi,
would copy out the Old Testament by hand.
Baris nyalin perjanjian lawas ku tulisan.
They would have an old copy in front of them.
Ranjena baris nyimpen salinan anu lawas di payununana.
And they would have a clean parchment in front of them.
Ranjena nyanda kertas perkamen di payununana.
And they would copy.
Ranjena baris nyalina.
Now, in copying like that, did they change anything?
Nah, dina nyalin eta manehna ngarobi.
Either deliberately or not deliberately.
Diaja tanpa henteu.
Now, I think first of all, let's look at the deliberately.
Abdi ngemut mangga urang ngahaja ningali.
The Jewish scribes who copied the word of God for so many hundreds of years by hand.
Penulis Yahudi anu nyalianan dohan Gusti ratusan tahun ku panangan.
Were completely convinced in their minds.
Kecakin pisan dina pikiranana.
That this was the very word of God.
Ini teh benar-benar dawuhan Allah.
Nothing must be changed.
Gayana naon anu tiasa dirobi.
They were absolutely convinced about that.
Anjeuna yakin pisan hal eta.
So much so.
Jadi salamina.
That the scribes, who were the copiers, the scribes went to extreme lengths to try to preserve the text.
Penulis anu nyalin teks anu panjang salamina ngajagana.
For example.
Upamina.
They took the Torah.
Ranjeuna nyandak Torat.
That's the Pentateuch.
Eta Pentateuch.
The five books of Moses.
Kitab Musa sanu lima.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The first five books in the Bible.
Kejadian, Budalan, Imamat, Bilangan, sareng Pamindo anu lima tea.
Now, if you look at your Bible, you'll see that's quite a lot of writing.
Ayeuna upami ningali Alkitab saderek, katingali rada seueur tulisan.
And then, they counted the number of times that each letter of the alphabet occurred in each book.
Seterusnya aranjeuna ngetang sabaraha kali enga unggal huruf abjad katingal tina unggal kitab.
They counted it in the old manuscript.
Aranjeuna ngetangna dina naskah lawas.
They counted in the new manuscript.
Aranjeuna ngetangna dina naskah anyar.
If the number was not the same,
ubami jumlahna teu sami,
they had to go back and find where the problem was.
Aranjeuna malikan deui lari di mana salahna.
Then,
saterusna,
they would take the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses,
bakal nyandak Pentateuch, kitab lima Musa,
and count the number of letters.
Ras ngetang deui aksarana.
Not just the number of words, the number of letters.
Tanes bae kecap-kecapna tapi jumlah aksarana.
And then they would divide that by two and find the middle letter.
Terus anjeuna dibagi dua, sarta mendakan aksara anu di tengah.
And then they would find the middle letter of the whole of the Hebrew Bible in the Jewish order.
Bakal mendakan aksara anu di tengah ti sadaya Alkitab Ibrani dina urutan Yahudi.
And then they would go back and find the middle word in the Torah.
Aranjeuna baris balik deui sarta mendakan kecap anu di tengah-tengah dina Torat.
And if they didn't match exactly with the numbers, they'd have to go back and find where the problem was.
Mendakan jumlahna anu teu akur, aranjeuna baris malikan deui sareng mendakan di mana masalahna.
Can you imagine doing that?
Biasa kaemut upami ngalampahkeunana.
But that's how much they love the word of God.
Tah, kumaha ayeuna masihan dawuhan Gusti.
Just by the way,
sekadar terang,
the middle word in the Pentateuch,
kecap nu di tengah dina Pentateuch,
is a Hebrew word in Leviticus 10 verse 16.
Eta kitab Ibrani dina Imamat 10 ayat 16.
The middle letter in the Hebrew Pentateuch.
Anu di tengah-tengah Pentateuch Ibrani.
Is a Hebrew letter called Vav in Leviticus 11:42.
Nyata aksara Ibrani anu disebut Pape dina Imamat 11:42.
And you'll have noticed that the middle letter and the middle word do not come in the same verse.
Kaderek baris merhatikeun, yen aksara anu di tengah sareng kecap nu dicitak sanes asana tina ayat nu sami.
Because some words are long and some words are short.
Merga aya kalimat anu panjang sareng anu pondok.
Now sometimes they could see there was a slight difference in the spelling of something.
Cara pengaranjeunna ningali aya anu bentena anu alit dina pengejahna.
And if a scribe saw that,
pamin panulis ningal eta,
he would take the traditional reading and copy it in the main part of the page.
Anjeunna bakal nyandak bacaan tradisional sareng nyalira dina bagian anu utama kecap eta.
And a variation would be noted in the margin.
Variasina dicatet di sisina.
So somebody reading would see both of those.
Numaca baris maca kadua hal eta.
The main body of the text we call the ketiv.
Bagian utama dina teks disebut ketiv.
The notes in the margin are called kere.
Bagian utama dina teks disebut kafiev.
And so we have the ketiv kere.
Catatan di sisi disebut kerai.
Now, how well did they succeed in making these careful copies?
Urang agaduhan kafiev sareng kerai.
For many, many hundreds of years, there was no way of really finding out.
Ayeuna kumaha hasilna dina midamel salinan anu taliti.
And then, in this century, something happened.
Salami ratusan tahun teu aya cara anu laras-laras midamelna.
In 1947,
tararasna dina abad ieu aya kajadian.
Archaeologists made a discovery.
Dina taun 1847 arkeologi ngayakeun pertemuan
in caves which were near the Dead Sea in the Holy Land.
Di gua-gua caket laut mati di lahan suci.
And in these caves there were pottery or clay jars, and in the jars were scrolls.
Di gua-gua aya barang-barang garaba jeung kendi-kendi taneuh jerona di gulungan-gulungan.
And these scrolls included parts of the Old Testament.
Gulungan-gulungan ieu kalebet bagian tina Perjanjian Lami.
Now, they were older by 1,000 years than the previous oldest manuscripts we had.
Gulungan ieu teh langkung ti 1000 taun tibatan naskah anu pangkolotna kurang gaduh.
So, in one step, we had gone back an extra 1,000 years into history for our earliest manuscripts of the Old Testament.
Ina salengka urang parantos balik deui 1000 taun kalangkung kolot anu tinaskah-naskah Perjanjian Lami sateuacana.
And here was the amazing thing.
Ieu aya hal anu matakeran.
You could have gone into a shop in Jerusalem that day.
Jadi inten ieu sadayak tiasa angkat ka kota di Yerusalem.
And you could have bought a printed Hebrew Bible, a modern book.
Kadarek tiasa ngagaleuh kitab Ibrani sareng kitab modern.
Like the one on my shelf at home.
Sapertosna aya di bumi abdi.
And then looked at the scrolls.
Teras tingali-tingali gulungan-gulungan eta.
Which were a thousand years older than the oldest scrolls that had been used for the printed text.
1000 taun langkung heubeul gulungan eta mun digunakeun sareng tos dicetak.
And they were almost identical.
Hampir sami.
Some small changes in spelling, what we call orthography.
Aya perubahan sagedik tina ejaan nu disebut ortografi.
Sometimes a little change in the phrasing.
Kadang-kadang sagedik robih tina ungkapan.
But essentially the same.
Nya intina mah sami bae.
And these Dead Sea Scrolls, as they are called,
renggulungan-gulungan laut mati disebatna,
include the whole book of Isaiah,
kalebet sadaya kitab Yesaya,
and parts or fragments of every Old Testament book except Esther.
Sareng bagian-bagian potongan-potongan setiap kitab perjanjian lama kecuali Esther.
There are fragments of about 190 biblical scrolls.
Ya potongan-potongan kinten-kinten 180 gulungan Alkitab.
Found in 11 caves.
Kepenak di 11 guha.
There are 20 fragments of Genesis.
Ada 20 penggalan kejadian.
14 of Exodus.
14 budalan.
27 of Deuteronomy.
27 pemindo.
34 of the book of Psalms.
34 Jabur.
Between 20 and 24 of Isaiah.
Antawis 20 ke 24 Yesaya.
Now, why I say between 20 and 24?
Nampet abdingan tosan 20 dugi ke 24.
The reason is this.
Iya alasanana.
We look at the number of books by the handwriting.
Kurang ningali jumlah kitab nu diserat.
And there may be broken portions of parts of Isaiah.
Aya bagian nu papisah ti Yesaya.
And in some cases they may have come from one original scroll, and in other cases from more than one original scroll.
Beberapa kasus kawitna ti hiji gulungan anu asli, sareng tina kasus-kasus sanes langkung tina hiji gulungan asli.
But the main point about it,
nanging pokona mah nyaeta,
is how old they are,
kumaha umur tina heubeulna gulungan,
and how they confirm the Bible as we have it.
Sareng kumaha ngempormasikan Alkitab sapertos nu kurang gaduh.
It shows that the Old Testament has not been changed.
Yen nunjuk yen perjanjian lami teh terobi.
It's also true to say that the New Testament has not been changed.
Itulah perjanjian engal oge terobi.
And that is another subject.
Karang ieu teh poko sanes.
That's not what this talk is about.
Sanes mun carioskeun.
But the evidence for the New Testament is even stronger than that.
Buktos rangkangnya perjanjian enggal anu langkung kiat.
So we can be sure when we look at the Bible.
Ya saya yakin waktu ningal Alkitab.
Whether in the New Testament or in the Old Testament.
Boh ti perjanjian lami atau napi perjanjian enggal.
That although it is so old.
Ejan oge tos sebel.
People have not played around with it and changed it. The text of the Bible is based on solid evidence.
Alkitab teh dasarna bukti anu mantep.
So what matters is how well has it been translated into our language, whatever that language is.
Janten masalah sakumaha saena anu diterjemakeun kana bahasa urang, bade naon bae bahasana.
Now, I'm working with an interpreter, a good friend of mine here.
Abdi nuju di damel janten penterjemah, aya rerencangan usai.
And he has two ways to interpret.
Anjeunna gaduh dua cara kanggo menterjemahkeun anon ku abdi di sareos.
He can try to interpret literally word by word everything I say.
Anjeunna tiasa menterjemahkeun kalimat demi kalimat nu ku abdi diucapkeun.
It may be very accurate.
Ieu mangkeun akurat.
But it won't sound good in his own language.
Namun teu saya kadanguna tina bahasanya lira.
Because sometimes in some languages the verb comes at the end of the sentence and other times it comes in the middle.
Kumargi tiasa sababaraha bahasa kalimat kerja teh muncul tina akhir kalimat sareng sanes waktos di tengah.
Now the other thing that he can do is to give the ideas, one idea after another.
Masene idena sile susul.
And that will sound much more natural. But if he does that, he better be very careful, it's accurate. So it's the same with the Bible. There are some translations of the Bible which are very literal, but they're a little bit awkward because they're so literal. Others of them read very easily in modern language. And we call that dynamic equivalence. But if we're wanting to study the Bible word by word, And we want to find out exactly which Hebrew word is rendered by which word in our own language.
Sareng urang hoyong mendakan ku kalimat Ibrani mana anu tepat cang diterjemahkeun ku bahasa urang nyalira.
Then we have to be very careful in the way we study.
Urang kudu hati-hati dina menterjemahkeunana.
But these days,
namun ayeuna mah,
there are so many good scholars.
Jeur sarjana Alkitab nu pinter.
Who know the languages of the Bible?
Anu paham kana bahasa Alkitab.
And who know the languages into which they're interpreting it?
Paham kana bahasa ieu dilebetkeunana.
There are so many of them.
Jeur jalmi sapertos kitu.
We can be very sure that they're doing a good job.
Urang yakin pisan anjeunna tiasa ngademanana anu sae pisan.
And when most translations are made these days,
patos terjemahan-terjemahan seueurna dilakukeun ayeuna.
There is a whole committee of translators.
Aya panitia anu lengkep tina penterjemah.
And if one of them makes a bit of a mistake, the others will get it.
Misal urang lepat perjemahanana anu sanesna pasti terangeun.
And they will discuss what is the very best way to translate a particular verse.
Anjeunna pasti badami ayat eta saparos hartina sae.
There's one other piece of evidence I'll just mention quickly to you.
Ieu sakedik buktos kanggo saderek.
In addition to the Hebrew Old Testament,
celaku kana perjanjian lami tina basa Ibrani,
we also have the translation of that into Greek,
urang ogéna gaduhan terjemahan tina basa Yunani,
which was done just before the time of Christ,
nu dilakukeun sateuacanna Yesus hirup,
which we call the Septuagint,
nu disebut Septuaginta.
I've referred to that.
Abdi ngacu kenal hal eta.
Now, that was made from manuscripts which now probably no longer exist.
Eta disusun tina naskah-naskah anu ayeuna nya panginten parantos teu aya.
So we can compare the Greek translation with our Hebrew and see how closely they match.
Janten urang tiasa ngabandingkeun terjemahan Yunani sareng Ibrani, urang ningali keduana cocok pisan.
Then there were the people we call the Samaritans.
Saterasna aya jalmi nu kurang disebut urang Samaria.
Now, if you know your Bible history,
ayeuna upami saderek terang sejarah saderek,
you will know that the Samaritans of the Jews were not very close to each other.
Saderek baris terang urang Samaria sareng urang Yahudi henteu gaul.
From about 400 years before Christ.
Kinten kinten 400 tahun sateuacanna Kristus.
Now the Samaritans have their own copy of the Pentateuch.
Urang Samaria parantos milih salinan tina Pentateuch.
And there's been no copying backwards and forwards for 2400 years.
Aya salinan anu kapengker sareng tipayun salami 2400 taun.
So it can be interesting to look at the Samaritan copies.
Narik pisan upami urang ningali salinan-salinan Samaria.
And then also a long time ago,
sareng deui nuju jaman kapengker,
there were translations or paraphrases of the Hebrew scriptures into Aramaic.
Aya penterjemah tanapi uraian tinu kalimat nyalira tinu ayat-ayat Ibrani kana basa Aram.
We call it the Aramaic Targum.
Disebutnya Targum Aram.
And that's very close to Hebrew, but not the same.
Ieu dekat pisan sareng Ibrani nanging teu sami.
And then the same was done into a language called Syriac.
Sareng hal ieu anu sami dilakukeun ku hiji basa nyaeta Syria.
Similar to Hebrew.
Sami sareng Ibrani.
But not identical.
Namun teu persis sami.
And so we can look at the Syriac Peshitta, as we call it.
Urang tiasa ningali tina Peshitta Syria sapertos urang so nyebatkeunana.
We have all of these evidences that we can look at.
Janten urang tiasa ningali buktosna.
When we come to study the Old Testament,
atus urang diajar perjanjian lami,
you can see it's a very big subject indeed.
Urang tiasa ningali ieu teh poko anu ageung pisan.
And we are just scratching the surface today.
Urang mah mung gagaro ti payuna mabae.
But let's start at the beginning.
Nanging hayu urang ngawitan deui.
Let's start at Genesis chapter 1 verse 1.
Urang ngawitan tinu kajadian hiji pasal hiji ayat hiji.
The first statement in the Bible.
Pernyataan kaji tina Alkitab.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Nalika Allah nyiptakeun jagat raya.
This is not only basic to the Old Testament, it's basic to us as Christians today.
Yesanes dasar tina perjanjian lami, ieu dasar kanggo anu partanten ka Kristus.
We live in a universe that was designed and created by God.
Urang hirup di alam dunia anu diciptakeun ku Allah.
It's not just the product of chance.
Ieu sanes kaleresan.
We are here for a reason.
Urang didieu kanggo hiji alesan.
Now it's very important to know what Genesis teaches about God.
Janten penting pisan urang terang diajarna ku kajadian ngeunaan Allah.
Because it's very different from other teachings that are around today.
Ieu benten pisan sareng pengajaran-pengajaran sanes anu ayeuna.
Genesis does not say that God is a kind of cosmic soul that just inhabits the universe.
Kajadian teu mengajarkeun yen Allah teh sejenis jiwa kosmis anu cicing di jagat ieu.
It does not say that God is an impersonal cosmic force.
Yeun teu nyarioskeun hiji kakuatan kosmis tanpa pribadi.
It does not say that he depends on the universe for his existence.
Oge teu nyarioskeun yen anjeunna gumantung ka jagat raya kanggo kaayaanna.
He does not depend on any part of the universe.
Anjeunna teu gumantung kana bagian mana bae ti jagat raya.
God is self-existent.
Allah tos aya ti tadina.
He existed before the universe.
Anjeunna aya sapertana jagat raya.
He will exist after the universe.
Anjeunna aya saparantos jagat raya.
He is self-existent.
Allah tos aya ti tadina.
He is intelligent.
Pinter.
He is conscious.
Sadar.
Of himself.
Karena sakiranya lira.
And of the universe he makes.
Terang jagat raya anu ciptakeunana.
He is personal, not impersonal.
Anjeunna pribadi sanes tanpa pribadi.
And so the statement that God created the heavens and the earth is fundamental to us as Christians.
Itu pernyataan Allah nyiptakeun sorga sareng bumi nya eta mangrupikeun asas kanggo urang selaku urang Kristen.
Now, when it comes to interpreting Genesis chapters 1 and 2,
janten waktu menerjemahkeun kejadian pasal 1 sareng 2,
and also looking at the findings of modern science,
ningali kana pamendak ilmu pengetahuan modern,
through geology,
ngalangkungan geologi,
and through the fossils, through paleontology,
caleresna ngalangkungan fosil-fosil paleontologi,
and indeed through astronomy and looking at the universe beyond us,
caleresna ngalangkungan astronomi sareng ningali ka jagat raya di luar urang,
and the age of the universe and the age of the earth,
yuswa jagat raya sareng yuswa bumi.
There have been many, many discussions.
Eureu bisa diskusi.
Both between scientists and scholars of the Bible.
Di antara dua eta di antawis ahli pengetahuan dan sarjana Alkitab.
And among scientists who are themselves Bible-believing Christians and scholars of the Bible.
Para ahli pengetahuan anu jalmi-jalmi Kristen sareng percanten Alkitab sareng sarjana Alkitab.
And there have been many different discussions as to how to interpret Genesis 1.
Dari diskusi anu benten ngeunaan kumaha nafsirkeun kajadian hiji.
And there are different interpretations of it.
Sareng aya perbentangan ngeunaan hal eta.
Between people who all believe it.
Jalmi-jalmi percanten.
As well as some, of course, who don't.
Oge sababaraha anu henteu percanten.
When I was teaching in college.
Atos abdi ngawulang di perguruan tinggi.
I used to do rather a mean thing to the students.
Abdi rada bangor ka mahasiswa-mahasiswa.
I used to present 5 different interpretations of Genesis 1.
Ngeluarkeun 5 penafsiran tina kejadian hiji.
And then I would say, now you've got to decide.
Abdi ayeuna maraneh nu mutuskeun.
And sometimes the students would say, but what do you think?
Mahasiswa nyarios, tapi kumaha pendapat bapa?
And I would say, well, if I tell you what I think, then you might just accept that and not think it through for yourself.
Abdi, tah, mun bapa mere nyaho ka maraneh, marane baris narima eta jeung moal mikir sorangan.
So I used to say, no, I won't even tell you that.
Abdi nyarios, moal bapa moal mere nyaho maraneh.
Go away, read the Bible, pray about it, read about it, make up your own mind.
Init, baca Alkitab, ngadoa jeung eta, baca, pikirkeun.
Now, we don't have the time to go in through all of those different interpretations.
Kurang tecekap waktosna Kang Omarios tafsiran benten.
But what we see very clearly is this.
Nu kurang ketingali jelas pisannya eta.
That the universe is the result of an intelligent plan by God.
Jagat raya teh hasil tina rencana Gusti nu pinter.
Which he created by his own power.
Nu diciptakeun ku kawasananya lira.
One of the great leaders of the early Christian church, hundreds of years ago.
Orang pemimpin ageng ti gereja ngawitan ratusan tahun kapengker.
Saint Basil.
Santo Basil.
Said this.
Nyeroski.
It is easier to measure the entire ocean in a little cup than to grasp the greatness of God in the human mind.
Tanggung gampang ukur segara tina hiji cangkir leutik tibatan pikiran keagungan Allah tina emutan manusia.
I think Basil was right.
Basil memang leres.
God does not try to put the whole ocean in a little cup.
Alang teu usaha ngalebetkeun sagara ka hiji cangkir alit.
And he doesn't try to put in our little brains all of himself.
Anjeunna teu usaha ngalebetkeun ka otak urang nu alit sadaya salirana.
If we could understand the whole of God,
pami urang ngartos Allah satu sautuhna.
We would be as big as God, or he would be as small as us.
Kurang baris janten saageung Allah tanapi Allah salit urang.
But what we can do,
naon tiasa ku urang dilakukeun,
is we can take the cup and put it into the ocean.
Kurang tiasa nyandak cangkir eta sareng ngalebetkeunana ka sagara.
We can't put the whole ocean in the cup, but we can put the whole cup in the ocean.
Kurang tiasa ngalebetkeun ka sagara ka cangkir, tapi cangkir ka sagara mah tiasa.
And your mind and mine is not great enough to grasp the eternal God.
Mutan saderek sareng abdi teu cekap pisan kanggo memahaman Allah nu langgeng.
But the whole of our minds can be filled with the presence of God.
Nanging sagala emutan urang dipinuhan ku ka ayaan Gusti.
Now let's look at Genesis 1.
Janten urang ningali teu kajadian hiji.
Just for a few moments at that first chapter. In Hebrew, there is a word, the word bara.
Dina bahasa Ibrani aya hiji kalimana eta bara.
And it is translated by create.
Ieu artosna nyiptakeun.
It only says that this word applies to God three times in Genesis 1.
Kalima ieu mung tilu kali diterapkeun ka Allah tina kajadian hiji.
Verse 1.
Ayat 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Nalika Allah nyiptakeun jagat raya.
In other words, nothing and then the universe.
Paribasana tadina teu aya nanaon salajengna aya jagat raya.
All the matter and energy that we see in the universe.
Sadaya sareng energi anu katingali di jagat raya.
Then we read God does different things.
Saterasna urang ngaos yen Allah ngalakukeun hal-hal nu benten.
It says that there was darkness on the face of the deep.
Dicareuskeun yen poek mongkleng nutupan sagara.
God said, let there be light.
Allah ngandika, jadilah cang.
Does not say God created light. It says God said, let light be.
Yaitu nyarios Allah nyiptakeun caang, mung nyarios Allah ngandika jadi caang.
And then he orders certain things to happen, the separation of water above and below.
Sareng saterasna Allah nyiptakeun kalembung sareng anjeunna, misahkeun cai nu aya di handap.
Let dry land appear.
Supaya nu katingalna nu garing terasina mian darat.
Let the earth bring forth, verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass.
Ayat 11, di darat sing aya rupa-rupa tangkal.
And let there be clearly seen lights in the heaven.
Di langit sing aya sumber cang.
But then in verse 21,
namung di ayat 21,
it uses the word bara to create another time.
Digunakeun kalimah bara kanggo nyiptakeun waktu nu sanes.
So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind.
Allah ngadamel makhluk-makhluk laut anu ageung katut sagala rupi sasatoan anu hirup di laut kitu deui sagala rupi manuk.
Why does it use the word bara there?
Kunaon ngagunakeun kalimat bara di dieu?
I believe it is because this is the first mention of living, animate animals, beings, creatures in the sea.
Percanten ieu kumargi ngawitanana disebat makhluk-makhluk anu hirup, sasatuan sareng sasatuan luar.
There is a qualitative difference here.
Ieu perbentanan anu kaitana sareng kualitas.
What we've seen before are impersonal things in the universe.
Urang ditingali sateuacana nyaeta hal nu tanpa pribadi di jagat raya.
Now we have living, moving creatures.
Ayeuna urang ngagaduhan makhluk nu hirup sareng gerak.
It is existence of a new order at a new level.
Kanyataan tina urutan sareng tahapan wengal.
And then we have the word bara coming again.
Seterusnya urang mendakan deui kalimah bara.
In verse 27.
Dina ayat 27.
God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them.
Allah ngadamel bangsa manusia nyeples mantena ngadamel napa megat sareng istri.
And here the word bara is used 3 times.
Jadi kalimah bara ayat 3 kali.
For emphasis.
Kanggo tekenkeun.
This is existence on a new level.
Ieu kanyataan tina hiji tahap enggal.
Because man, humanity,
kumargi manusia, kamanusianana,
we don't mean man the male as against the female.
Kana maksudna manusia salaku pamegat sareng istri.
It says God created humanity in his own image.
Tereskeun Allah nyiptakeun manusia nyeples anjeunna.
And then male and female he created them.
Saterasna pamegat sareng istri diciptakeunana.
In the image of God.
Rupi Allah.
What does that mean?
Naon maksudna?
And this brings us to the second most important statement in the Old Testament.
Nyandak urang kana pernyataan nu kadua nu paling penting tina Perjanjian Lami.
The first is that God is creator.
Ngawitan Allah teh pencipta.
The second statement is that man is made in the image of God.
Nu kadua manusia diciptakeun nurutkeun rupi anjeunna.
What that means, we're going to see in our next lesson.
Naon hartosna eta urang ningali dina sesi salajengna.
Please join us.
Hayung hiji.
We look forward to having you with us.
Abdi ngarepkeun saderek tiasa sasarengan.